Good morning. I hope that's woken you up and you're ready for our worship together. And it's good to see you. And to any visitors here this morning, with a warm welcome for you. I start with two bits of sad news. People connected to the Corps and known to many of you. Betty Cook, her husband died this week. And Jean Hill lost her daughter also. So if you can please remember Betty and Jean and the family in your prayers. Even if you don't recognize the names or you don't think you know them, you can still pray for them. Thank you. Tea and coffee is available in the community hall following our worship this morning. But there will be an open air. And if we do manage to beat the rain, then we will go to the open air, that triangle. We need help for someone to give out this leaflets with the songs on and chairs and speakers. But I'm sure it usually all comes together. But I'll make a weather forecast at the end of the meeting to let you know whether it's well enough for us to go. On Monday, Sallywags meet again. And the food bank is open from 10 o'clock till 1. On Wednesday, the job club meets here from 10 to 12. And that's followed by the friends together at 1:30. Thursday, coffee morning from 10 till 12. And then 3:30 in the afternoon for the youngsters, explorers. On Thursday coming, this Thursday at 7 p.m., we invite you to join the band and songsters in music and devotions on Holy Week. And this is music by the band of songsters and words from Scripture. And this surely is a good way to prepare ourselves for Easter. So we hope to see you there 7 o'clock on Thursday. Next Sunday at 3 o'clock, it's Messy Church. So if you're a messy person, you're invited to come along. And Gemma would like some, if you've got any plastic bottles, empty ones of course, plastic bottles, plastic ice cream tubs, Pringle tubs, anything like that, just give them to Martin and he'll make sure that Gemma gets them. Well, this morning our captain is absent, but he's not far away. He is just about to go. Push. Here he goes. He's about to go to Randley Road and preach there, but we have a good half. We have Lizette, who will be conducting our meeting this morning. I think you want to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all today. I have two announcements. The first one is regarding Holy Week. You'll see at the back of the hall, in a green cardboard box, I've left these booklets. And these booklets are for our morning and evening prayer next week, as well as for our Tenebrae service next Thursday. I'm going to explain, hopefully, as clearly as I can, what the plan is for next week. At 10 a.m. on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be here to conduct morning prayer. If you're able to join me and let's do this together. It'll take 20-25 minutes max. If you're not able to join us, it's not next week, sorry, it's the week after. Is that why you're looking quizzical? Yes, sorry. During Holy Week at 10 a.m. If you're not allowed to be here, if you're not able to be here, take the booklet away and join with us in prayer at 10 a.m. At 6 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be here leading prayer. Evening prayer according to the Celtic tradition. Please join me. If you can't join me, take the booklet and pray with us at 6 o'clock. The final part of the booklet is about The Tenebrae service. Anyone got any schoolboy Latin here? Oh, there's two of us. There's two of us that are brave enough to claim it. Tenebrae means shadows. It means shadows in Latin. And the service involves candles, lots of readings of the Holy Week, as told in the Gospels. And it serves us as a preparation then for Good Friday and then for Easter Sunday. I've wanted this year for us to be reflective, and I've wanted to give us the opportunity to think about the story. So take a booklet, join us here or at home during Holy Week, but let's take this opportunity to reflect upon the significance of the story. Secondly, we know the difficulties that the Saxton family are going through at the moment. We recognise the challenges around having a son who is not very well indeed in Birmingham. You know, I hope, that we've been praying for you. But there's a feeling in which we should help this family in more practical ways. Charity Commission rules make it difficult for the Corps to support them financially. So I'm calling out to us as a church family, if you're able to support Martin and Gemma financially, I think it would be the generous, the Christian thing to do. These back and forths to Birmingham are costly, and I think there's been a few Airbnb nights involved as well, and hotel nights. If we are able to support them, I encourage you to do so, but on a personal basis. Thank you very much for your attention. I'm off to Ranelagh Road. Please pray for them.
Good morning. I'm sorry about Baba. She's a bit upset this morning. But we'll carry on. Well, it's good to be here. Do you like the new... But I'm surprised he didn't mention it. I thought he's only staying here to do the announcement so he could talk about this and be the first one here, but he didn't. But what? No? It's all right. It's all right. Well, yeah, Paul and Simon have spent quite a bit of work on Tuesday getting it all up and getting all reading instructions, trying to put everything together, and we just standing there looking at them and laughing at them, really. But yeah, we thank them for the effort they put into this. Do you want to sit down? And we're going to start worship this morning. And I like this song. We're going to sing "Come Now Is the Time to Worship." I really like this song. Come now, it's a time to worship. Come now, it's a time to give your heart. Come just as you are. That's the bit I like. Come just as you are to worship. Come just as you are before your God. That's how God asks us to do, isn't it? We just come this morning as we are to worship him. With all our problems, our faults, whatever's going on in the world, he just says, come just as you are. And let us worship. So let's stand and sing together.
Thank you. We're going to enter into a time of prayer now. We'll sing this song. We have come into this place, and we are gathered in his name to worship him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. And as we're going to spend some time praying, this is what I want us to do this morning. Is to come into this place and just worship him. I really want us this morning just to worship him in our prayers this morning. Let's forget everything. Forget everything and just give God the place that he deserves this morning. Let us lift him up. Let's leave all our worries on one side. Whatever has happened, just come. Come into his presence right now. And just take the time to worship. That's what I want us to do this morning, is worship our God. In our prayers this morning, let's not ask for anything. Just worship him, praising him, adoring him, just lifting our hands to him and lift him up and say, God, you are God. And this morning, we want nothing from me. We're here this morning just to worship you because you are God and God alone. So as we sing this song, let us prepare our heart to spend some time with God and just being in his presence. So let's sing and then just sit in his presence and worship him in prayers later on. John keeps playing in your hearts, or if you want to lift up your voice, please do. Just worship Christ. Prayers of worship, prayers of praise, just where we are right now, just praising God for who he is to you, to me, to our family, for what he has done, for Jesus Christ, for his love, for his joy, for his peace, his healing, his comfort. Just this moment, just praise and worship Christ Jesus, our Lord. This morning we come before you, and Lord, here we are just as we are, and we just come to praise and worship your mighty name. Lord, we lift your name on high. We give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. There's no one else on this earth we want to praise and worship but you, Lord Jesus. We're lifting our hands up, Lord Jesus, to worship you and to magnify your name. So, Father, hear the prayers of your people this morning as we spend time with you in praise and worship. Just lifting you up and giving you the place that you truly deserve in our hearts, in our life, in this place right now. Father, you deserve all the praise of your people. You are worthy, Lord Jesus, to be magnified, Lord. We thank you for who you are to us. We thank you for your love, Father. You gave your one and only Son to come and die for us, Lord. We thank you for that gift of love. We thank you that you loved us first. And that's why we're able to love, because you loved us first. We thank you for being able to come in this place, to freely come and worship you. So, Lord, we're not asking for anything this morning. We're just asking that your name be magnified and be praised, that you be lifted on high. So, Lord, thank you for this time. And then we pray for Paul, and he goes and lead at Ranley Road. Lord, we just ask that you might be with them, and also be with everyone that's there that's going to hear from him, that as he opens his mouth, that it's you that he's speaking to them. So thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for surrounding us with your love and your peace and your joy. And thank you for uniting us with your Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory this morning. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to carry on with worship this morning by listening to the songsters as they come and sing God and God Alone. Thank you, songsters. God and God alone. He's worthy of everything and all our praise. Now, we're going to sing Shine. Oh, thank you, band. There was a bit of an enthusiastic going on here. I love that. Right, let's start. It's okay. Oh, no. Let's start again. So we're going to sing Shine from the inside out. Yes, Jeremiah, let's go. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing. I'm going to take my heels off so that... I was going to wear my trainers this morning. Martin goes to me, why don't you wear your very bright, what color was it, brown trainers tomorrow? I'm like, no, maybe I'll be pushing it too much. But you never know, you might make an appearance next week, one day. But let's stand and sing together. Come on. For the week for my exercise, so yeah, that's me done. Right, next, the band, they're going to bring their ministry to us, and while the band is playing, the children can go to Sunday school, and if anyone wants to take Martha with them, they're more than welcome to take her. So we'll listen to the band. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, the Bible reading today is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 through to 17. And it's called The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you. And we'll come back to these words in a minute. But we're just going to sing. One of the things about leading worship is you get to pick your favorite songs. So this one's one of my favorite. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, let all that I am, never cease to worship you. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. I love that bit. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Beautiful words. I don't know about you, but I love this one. I love this song. I love the words. I love everything that it means to us. So we're going to sing this, and then we're going to take the offering as we sing this together. And I hope that's our prayer this morning. Nothing stands or compares to the promise that we have in Jesus. Last week, Paul and I were a bit in trouble because we forgot to send our mother's Mother's Day card. Yes. So about 7:30 on Saturday morning, there I was with my phone, moonpig.com, trying to find a card. So they both got exactly the same card. I just changed the pictures with different grandchildren according to who they are and just changed the words of Nana and Coco, which is grandma for my mother, and then just write a little something different for each and then send it off. I'm like, hopefully get there in time. Lunchtime Sunday, Paul gets a text from his mom on WhatsApp saying, thank you for my card and my chocolates. I'm like, get in there. We've just saved ourselves. Oof. My mom didn't do anything. I didn't get nothing. My mom like, what's going on? So my mother-in-law got something, but I haven't heard from my mom. So I'm like, let me call her quickly. My sister picks up like, thank you for the lovely chocolates that we're enjoying right now. I'm like, okay. So mama's got her, so I'm like, safe there. But it's amazing how easily we are connected these days, isn't it? It's so fast and so quick, you know. You could be like, I could call my uncle from Africa and see them on, you know, on WhatsApp easily because the connection these days are brilliant. These are things that we couldn't have done a few years ago. Like, especially with grandparents being so far away, WhatsApp videos makes it a bit easier for them to see the grandchildren. And I feel like my girls, although they don't see their grandparents that much, I feel they really know them really well because of the connection that we have through phones and internet and things like that. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what it was like back in the days when you send a letter and you had to wait for how many days? 3 days? 4 days? 5 days to arrive? No? You all pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about. How long did it take you guys to receive a letter back in the days? A few days, but now you can get it quickly, isn't it? You first stamp, get it the next day. But yeah, it's fast and the connection's there. And we live in a world that's full of connection. Everybody are connecting one way or another. Especially the Salvation Army. We're all connected to each other one way or another. I know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone. And connection, isn't it? And this morning, our Bible reading is all about keeping connected. And the story that Alicia read to us this morning, most of us, or probably all of us, should know it and should probably have read it once in our life. The disciples have spent a few times with Jesus in his presence and have experienced his ministry. And somehow, through the Gospel of John, they don't really fully understand who Jesus is. So Jesus gives a speech between John 14 and 17, and us just comes in between that, just between Jesus' life and ministry. And then afterwards, it's Jesus' death and resurrection. So ours just comes in the middle of that. And he's saying these things to them. And it's in that point, I think, is when the disciples realized that Jesus was actually going to leave them. That he was going, and they have to carry on living without him. And Jesus here is trying to explain to them, and obviously to us as well, what it will mean to be Christian after he's gone. And the word remain appears 11 times in these verses. And I've taught to believe, I'm not English speakers, as you all know, my mother tongue is Lingala, but apparently the translated word abide, which comes from the word abode, is that right? Is that how I say it? Brilliant. I'm guessing I'm nodding. Which means to make your home. Lovely. Thank you, Julia. I can count on you. So Jesus keeps saying over and over again to them to remain, to abode, to make your home in him. That's quite precise, in him. Jesus wants his disciples to keep connected with him even after he's gone. So the speech begins with the Last Supper in John 13. Taking place in the upper room with the events of the betrayal and the foot and him washing the disciples' feet. And then in John 14, it ends with Jesus saying, let us leave. Now, apparently, some scholars believe that Jesus taking his disciples from the upper room down through the Kidron Valley, making his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and on his way there, they believe that he stopped near a vineyard, which is where it's a perfect illustration for him when he's explaining about how the disciples need to remain connected to him in order to carry out his mission in his absence. There are three particular ways that the disciples are told to carry on the mission of Jesus after his departure. It says, remaining connected to God, connected to each other, and connected to the world. So they must connect with God, each other, and the world. And the things that keeps them connected when we read the Bible is love. Love is central to our connection to God, to our connection to each other, and to the world. This morning we'll be thinking about how we can stay connected to God by nurturing love, to each other by showing love, and to the world by sharing love. So we're going to try and look into that this morning, just three things. Connecting to God is by nurturing our love. And we can read from chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. Jesus makes it clear that if the disciple wants to carry on his work after his death, they need to stay connected to him. They need to remain to the vine. He says, apart from me, you cannot do anything. Apart from me, you cannot do everything. You have to stay connected to me. And sometimes, I guess, we feel that we can do things on our own, don't we? We feel like we're capable of carrying on this work by ourselves. But just like the vine is the source of energy and nutrition for the fruits, so too is Christ the source of nutrition and energy for the work that he wants us to do in his name. He's not telling us to do it alone. He said that we need to do it with him. We have to stay connected with him, because without him, we cannot do anything. I was going to show you a video of a lady doing some housework, and she's cleaning the house. And you know how you take the hoover bit off, the top bit off, and you kind of do the top bit, and then she's doing it, and then one bit goes up and the other bit stays down, and she's still going, you know, trying to clean without that connection, which is really kind of useless, isn't it? It's a bit like us. Trying to hoover something without a connection is useless. It's a bit like us. Without Christ, we are useless. We need to be connected to him in order to be able to be useful. One example that Jesus gives in the text of how we maintain a connection to God is in pruning. Am I saying that right? Lovely. It says that God prunes the branches to bear fruit so that they will become more fruitful. So he does that so that he can make it more fruitful. We have to do the same in our own life. We have to do the same in our own life. We need to take the time to let God do that to us as well. Prune the best that's not useful. Take it out. And keep the stuff that's useful. And how do we do that? It's about how do we spend our time nurturing our love of God. I once went to a concert of one of the Christian rappers, and he gave this, he was saying how, I don't know where you got the story from, so don't ask me where you got it from. There's two dogs. There's one where he gets fed really well looked after, and the other one is not. And you can tell the difference between the dogs, can't you? When one is really well looked after, well fed, and well taken care of, and the other one is not, and you can see the difference between them. And he was saying the same with us, is how do we take care of our spiritual life? How do we nurture it? What do we give it? How do we spend time nurturing ourselves? What do we prioritize in our life? How do we spend time reading the Bible and praying to God and sitting down and listening to him and let him fill us? Or do we just go on with our life as if, you know, I'll be okay. I don't need God to help me. I'll be okay. I can just walk out this door and just come in and nothing happen and do nothing. We can't do that, can we? Nothing will happen. We won't be useful and efficient if we don't take the time to take care of our spiritual life. If we don't let God do his job in us, take away all the things that's going out the wrong way in the wrong places, the things that are spending too much time, I can lift my hands up and say, I spend way too much time on Facebook and I need to cut that out and spend more time praying with God. We all have things that stops us from spending time with God. We all got things that's going in the wrong way within us that needs to be pruned, needs to be cut down and put aside so that the good stuff in us can come out. So that the God love in us can come out. And I'm not going to pinpoint anyone. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody because we know ourselves. We each know ourselves. We don't point fingers at anyone because we know ourselves. We know how we are. We know what God needs to cut out of our life. All those branches that's going the wrong way, we know which one they are. So we can make the decision to let God cut that out. Because he's the one who does the work. He's the gardener in this story. We don't need to do it alone. We know what they are. We let him do the work to cut it off and take it all out. And that's the good news, is that he does the hard job of taking it all out, if only we let him. So we need to stay connected to God by nurturing our relationship with him. We cannot love others or share our world, the love to the world, if we don't take care of that first. If we don't take care of our relationship with God first. To stay connected to Jesus, to do his work, let's work at our relationship with God and how we're nurturing that and how we're growing spiritually. What we're spending time doing. That's important. That's very important. And that's number one. Let's get our relationship with God right. Let's nurture that so that we can connect to each other by showing love. Jesus makes it clear in these verses that the disciple had to stay connected to God by the loving relationship and nurturing of that relationship in his absence. But then in verse 9:14, he says, Jesus gives a commandment to love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I've loved you. One of the ways in which we stay connected to God is by our connection to each other. It's the way in which we demonstrate how we love each other. And how do we love each other? Simple, how Jesus loves us. Imagine if Jesus loved us the way we love each other. Just for a minute, imagine that. Imagine Jesus loved you the way you love others. How do you love others? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes a bit more. If they give me something, then maybe I'll love them. If they're good to me, I'll love them. If, you know, there is condition, isn't it, to our love to others. Imagine Jesus doing that to us, loving us the way we love each other. How would you feel about that? If there was a condition to Jesus' love to you. He's asking us to love the way that he loves us. It's easy said and done, isn't it? It's easy to say I love others. It's hard to do it. There was once a person who prayed, Dear Lord, thank you for helping me to be so loving and patient to others today. I haven't lost my temper with anyone. I haven't thought ill of anyone. I've been kind. I've treated everyone with respect. But I'm just about to get off bed, and I've got a feeling it will be downhill from here. So then I could really use your help. It's true, isn't it? It's funny, but it's the reality. You might think that we're a loving person, have a good relationship with God, but when it comes to contact with other people, that's when the test is on. That's when the test is on. And in John 15, the word you is repeated over and over again in the English translation. But the you is never the singular in the Greek. It's always the plural you. In other words, time and time again, Jesus is addressing the whole community of disciples. We don't bear fruit as individuals. We bear fruit as a community. We bear fruit as each other, you know, with one another. We're together in this. I'm about to sing a high school musical here. We're all in this together. You know that song? We're all in this together. It's not an individual thing. It's all of us together. It's not me bearing fruit. It's us as a community bearing fruit. So, we love God by nurturing our relationship with them. We love others by loving each other the way God loves us. Not the way we think we ought to love them, but the way Jesus loves us. And it's hard. It's not easy. We're all human. We're all imperfect. But we can only do it through the help of God and the Holy Spirit. So we pray, don't we, for God to help us to do just that. And then thirdly, we remain connected to Jesus by connecting to the world, by sharing love. We need not to keep this to ourselves, but we need to be able to share it with others. My mom always says, Jesus has given us this great gift. Why do we keep it to ourselves? Why do we keep it to ourselves? We need to share it with others. Let others have that. He goes, God gives you joy and happiness, and you need to show it so that other people can see it and can ask you the question, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Why are your life like this? Then you can turn around and say, it's because of Jesus. She always says, do not keep it to yourself, share it with others. Why do we keep it to ourselves? Why do we keep it to ourselves? When we have great news, you share with everybody, don't you? When you have great things happening in your life. This morning we shared great news of Anne and Graham, didn't we? Congratulate them on the birth of the granddaughters. It's great news, so we share it, don't we? We don't keep it to ourselves. We don't keep anything exciting, great, and happy to ourselves. You share it, especially on Facebook. If it's not on Facebook, it's not real. You know? Anything good we share. So why do we not share this Jesus that loves us so much, that has made our lives so much more better and so much, joyful? Why do we keep it to ourselves? Why do we keep it just here on a Sunday morning? Let's share it wherever we go, in our workplace, at school, wherever we find ourselves, whoever we meet. Share this good news. Share this love. That Jesus, who comes and died for us, is here for them. And that's what he wants us to do, is to be able to share this good news to others. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's share it. Let everybody know about this Jesus, about this love. So this morning, think about three things. We remain in Christ by nurturing our relationship with God first. Make that right. We remain connected to God, to Jesus, by loving as he loves us. Loving each other the same way that Jesus loved. Not the way you think you ought to love people, or because of a condition, or because they've done something for you, or whatever. But you love them just the way Jesus loves us. And finally, we don't keep that to ourselves. We share it out. We go out there and share this love. Let others know about this good news that we have. Let others be part of this community. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about us together. So let us do that this morning. And as a way of reflection time, we'll sing a song. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Would you go where you don't know and never be the same? Would you let my love be shown? Would you let my name be known? Would you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Would you leave yourself behind if I call, but you call your name? These are all questions Jesus is asking us. And I hope as we sing this song and as we we're hearing this question from God. I hope that you can answer to some of this question yourself this morning. So let's spend some time of just singing and praying this song together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, this morning I want to thank you for your love. And I thank you that you loved us first. And by doing so, we can love you and love others. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, to stay connected to you, to remain in you, to make a home in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us to know to spend time with you, so that we can grow into the people that you called us to be. And Lord, for those times where we do things that we should probably be doing, Lord Jesus, or we're wasting time on things that we should not be doing, Lord, help us to stay connected, to help us to nurture our relationship with you. Father, come and help us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us, Lord Jesus, so that we might know how we can spend time with you by praying, by reading your Bible, by listening to each other, Lord Jesus. Just help us to be closer to you, to know how much you love us. Help us that we can come together and love the way you love us, Lord Jesus. No condition, nothing, just love. Just your love. And Lord, it is hard sometimes, but we know we can do this because you are with us. We know we can do this because your spirit comes and unites us, Lord Jesus. So help us to be the people you've called us to be. And Lord, let us be able to go out there and share this love with others, to the world who needs to hear us, those people who need to be loved, people who need to be cared for, people who need to hear your voice, people who need to hear your name, Lord Jesus. So help us to be there for them. Let us to bring you to the world, be the good news that people need to hear. Lord, we just ask that you might just guide us. Help us, Father. Lord, we recommend the rest of this week as we start a new week into your hand. Lord, whatever we might be doing throughout the week, Lord, go with us, be with us, guide us, and just take control, Lord. Let us be your ear, your eyes, your voice, your hands, your feet to everyone who needs it, Lord Jesus. So I thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, we think of all of our friends and family who could not make it this morning. For whatever reason, we just ask that you might be with them and you might protect them. We give you all the glory and we praise you this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And our final song this morning is In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. He's my light and my strength. So we'll stand as we sing this together. Amen. And indeed, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand till he returns or calls us home. Here in the power of Christ will stand. And I'll say the final benediction. Go now. Love one another, because love is from God. Proclaim God's salvation to every generation. Remain in Jesus Christ, and let branches and vine draw your life from him. And may God the vine grow, attend you, and make you fruitful. May Christ Jesus abide in you and give you life. And may the Holy Spirit cast out all fear and fill you with God's love. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.